Blog Talk Radio.
Gossiping the Gospel with Mike and Pam Matthews. We're delighted today. We've been anxiously awaiting this particular broadcast to bring to you two friends, but almost more friends in the spiritual realm, just because of what we understand of their life and how they live. Those of you who have joined in know that who we're talking about is Dave and Tina Wagner. Now, before I do any particular introduction, I want to go ahead and open in a word of prayer and begin this particular episode. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity to gossip your gospel, to gossip the good news around the world through every means possible. Lord, we think of if the Apostle Paul would have had email in his day or text messaging or internet radio, he'd be broadcasting worldwide to make sure that everyone heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, today we want to glorify your name as we hear about vision. A vision that brings glory to your name and challenges our thinking on how you're responding to humanity in our particular day. Lord, again, would you be glorified as people are edified as they hear live or in an archived fashion? Lord, again, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as we begin this particular show, I want to remind everyone, Gossiping the Gospel was really started because we knew that the book of Revelation, chapter 12, specifically verse 11, talks about being accused by the accuser of the brethren, who's the enemy. And it says in Scripture, in a reflective manner, the only two ways that people were able to escape the accuser of the brethren were two ways. Number one, by the blood of the Lamb, and two, by the word of our testimony. And so we know that Jesus Christ already provided the blood of his testimony, or the blood of his testimony, if you would, by dying on Calvary. And now our opportunity is to provide the word of our testimony. And so I want to go ahead and introduce Dave and Tina Wagner. And Dave and Tina, as you're listening, please make sure that you press 1 on your keypad before you begin to talk. So Dave and Tina, why don't you go ahead and say hi. Dave first.
Hi, Mike. Did you able to hear me?
Yeah, Dave, I can hear you. You can speak up a little louder. That would be great.
Okay. Well, glad to be here today with you.
All right. Thanks. And Tina, why don't you go ahead and say hi.
Yep. I'm here, too. Can you guys hear me all right?
We sure can.
Okay.
We want to go. I'll go ahead and start with a few questions. How we want to break up this one-hour time slot is the first half hour just getting to know Dave and Tina and their life, and then spend the second half talking about a vision that they had. And it's based off what we talked about last week was our spiritual cloud of witnesses. Who makes up our spiritual cloud of witnesses? And I want to just say this, you know, as I think about our day and age that we live in, the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we take the word all to mean difficult, but the Bible does not say we can do difficult things through him who strengthens us, even though that's included. It says all things. In other words, that when our life becomes so complex in the day we live in, that Christ allows us to do all things and sort of commingle things. So I think of last night, Pam and I were in Houston, Texas at a ordination service, healing service, and today I'm sitting in Kansas City broadcasting, and Pam's in Tulsa, Oklahoma with her daughter at Oral Roberts University. And I know, David, Tina, you've got your own challenges on your hands where you're at. Why don't you tell everyone?
Yeah, I'm just actually I'm not in at home in Le Sueur, Minnesota with Dave. I am on the road with my daughter coming back from a marathon in Des Moines, Iowa that she was in this morning. So we're sitting at a roadside talking to you all.
Amen. So it is a fact that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's when I met Dave the very first time. It really hit me that here's a gentleman and his wife as well that really live life, and they don't separate their church life from their work life, from their family life, their relationship life, their trial life. It's all together because they live a comprehensive life because Christ can do all things through them. So why don't we start, Dave, if you would start first by just giving us a little bit of background, where you're from, and just a little bit how long you've been saved,
Sure.
A few minutes on that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I grew up in the city of Le Sueur, Minnesota, the home of the Jolly Green Giant, and I was saved at the age of 13, and what I say, I was really radically saved, where I really experienced a touch of God, a tangible feeling, and I knew that was forever had convinced me that there was a God, and God is real, and God's alive. And through that, I was interested in business, and my father encouraged me to move on in business. At a young age, I went to a neighbor of mine who was building a farm and decided, you know, to see if I could work for him as well. He hired me. I ended up, you know, growing up through the ranks of his business up until the point I was graduating from high school and was offered a position to buy into a large food company. And took the opportunity, had to give up my schooling to go ahead and start this job with Crystal Farms. And just absolute incredible experiences through that. And the Lord led me numerous different ways during that 16-year period of time, to the point where he asked me to lay it all down. And that was a six-month struggle in my life, and from there I eventually laid it down, and he gave me a dream that night, and I moved on that same dream the following Monday morning, and was in business that same day, and the Lord has just really kind of directed me into even the business that I started 10 years ago, which I'm currently functioning now with Inspired Technologies. So it's been an interesting business, as well as on the personal side of things, both victories and many setbacks as well.
Okay, thanks, Dave. I'm going to come back to something that you told me when I met you for the first time. But I'd like to, Tina, if you could spend a few minutes talking about, you know, the number of children you have, where you're from originally, how long you've been saved.
Well, I was originally born in Germany and came over as a baby and basically raised in Minnesota. And Dave and I have a blended family, so I have three, he has four, although they all really do blend together quite well. It's hard to separate them out, who's who. We also have one that now lives with Jesus, and He's been gone about 2 years, so we have 8 all together. Plus, we have numerous, we'd say, young adult children that have lived with us and do live with us at this time, different family situations. So we always have a full house and lots of activity going on. So we've been married, it'll be 10 years now in November, which seems like we've lived a lifetime in just a short 10 years. Our kids range in age.
We're going to come back to something you said. You had just mentioned that you lost a little one, or shouldn't say lost. Actually, you a little one moved on in a way, but we're going to come back to that story in a minute. And, Dave, if we could go back, you know, just for all listeners, how I met Dave Wagner was somebody, a friend of mine had a dream, and in his dream was myself and Dave Wagner, and that prompted me maybe about 6 months later to act upon that when the Lord spoke to me and said, hey, you need to get a hold of Dave Wagner. So Dave and I met for the first time, I believe it was last January. And, Dave, I asked you a question that was interesting, and the question was, how long have you been dreaming, and how do you respond to your dreams? Why don't you go ahead and tell the listening audience?
Well, I've actually had dreams really probably since the time I was saved, more aggressively in the last few years. But as far as how I act upon them, I can tell the difference between just a dream and a spiritual dream. When I have what I call a spiritual dream, there's certain people, certain places, I know certain aspects, you know, which direction is east or which way is north, without really knowing it. It's just a knowing. But there's always just enough detail to make it very important. The second part of it is when I wake up, I have perfect recall of that dream, whereas many times I wake up and I know that I was dreaming, but 5 minutes later I can't remember anything about it. So as far as acting upon it, frequently I write the dreams down now. I wish I would have, you know, going back years and journal them, but now I write them down and watch how the Lord makes things work. And again, many times I'm either given some insight as to something to do in business or how to handle a problem or to negate a problem, that type of thing. So or to even inspire additional things for business.
Amen. I mean, you caught my attention when you told me that the majority, if not all your decisions that were major decisions in life and business included, were based off of either dreams and or through prayer time with others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the basis of our company was founded out of a prayer meeting for the very purpose to raise finances to support ministry. We found so many ministries were spending so much time raising funds and spending their time raising funds that we knew that we could handle business, and we wanted ministry to do what they do best. So once we started that, I found that I'm doing more ministry in business than I'd ever done before, but we're meeting our objective, and that's to go ahead and finance ministry from the profits and the benefits of the business.
Amen. That's a powerful testimony, like I was talking about before, that a comprehensive life is that which doesn't try and constantly separate things. And they allow God to work through them no matter if they're in business, ministry, or both combined. Doesn't matter. Now, for those of you listening may wonder, wow, Dave said he had perfect recall on his dreams. Why would that be? When you put it in perspective, God gives dreams. Outside of religion, scientists have proven that everyone dreams every night. The difference, I believe, is that not everyone believes in dreams, and not everyone believes their dreams. So when Jesus used to heal people, or still does, in fact, but when he was on earth healing people, he said, so be it unto you. In other words, your faith will make you whole, or your belief will take care of your issue. And so when we walk by faith and believe in dreams and believe the evidence that the dream helps me, suddenly, I remember my dreams a lot more because my belief allows me to process the dream. So King Solomon, for instance, he received wisdom in a dream. He responded to God in that dream that he wanted the wisdom, but he woke up and he had to start walking out his dream. And so it's interesting that, you know, again, Dave mentions that he believes in dreams, therefore his dreams probably are almost perfect recall. Tina, why don't we go ahead and talk a little bit, as you look back on life, what was probably the most challenging opportunity that you've given to the Lord to be glorified in? What circumstance in life?
Well, that's easily, not only for me, but for our entire family and extended family, is the loss of our little boy here on earth, Joel. Joel was diagnosed as maybe 6 months old with a very rare disease called histiocytosis. It's treated like cancer with chemotherapies, and he continued to relapse, so he needed a bone marrow transplant. And during the bone marrow transplant, at the end of it, he was engrafted and everything worked fine. And then we were 8 months in the hospital at the University of Minnesota. And through that, I mean, I lived in, as most parents do with kids in these situations, you live in the hospital room with your child day and night, day and night. The night is no different than the day activity, except for you have less staff to call upon in time of needs. But, you know, the activity level is the same. So I was there basically Monday through Friday, and then Dave would come on the weekends, or if there were crises emerging frequently, then he would have to take off and drive about an hour and 20 minutes up to where we were staying. So I think the time going through that, and then when Joel did leave this earth to move on and be with Jesus, I think that's been the most challenging that we can all say definitely for our family is, coping with everything that you go through when they're sick and in pain and suffering. But you see the resiliency and the joy, and we also learned, you know, so many fantastic things through Joel. He was 3 days away from being 3 years and 3 months old when he died. So he was able to share with us things that the Lord, you know, we definitely knew he had his own relationship with the Lord, and he was always actually encouraging Dave and I to pray in all these situations. He would sign Jesus and say, "Mom, pray," or "Dad, pray." You know, he asked for prayer before, like, if he was having pain, and we'd ask him, "Do you want a bump of medicine?" He'd say, "No, Dad, pray." He wanted prayer first. And then sometimes he'd take a bump, and sometimes he wouldn't. "Mom, pray." Or when I was crying, when other families lost their children, he took, especially one little boy that we were close to, we had pictures in our room colored by this little boy, so we kind of got to know him via the, you know, not personally meeting, as we weren't allowed to interact. But this day when this little boy died, I was not prepared. I didn't know he was that sick. And this little boy loved Jesus too, and so did his mom. And we had his picture right on our bed rail, and I started to cry then. And Joel took my face in his hands and looked in my eyes. He said, "No, Mom, pray, pray." Because I said, "I'm not sad for Connor. I'm really sad for his mom." And he said, "Mom, pray." So I mean, Joel really, he had his own relationship. He learned to sign a little bit as a baby. We showed him just a couple signs that we knew. And one day, as I was worshiping with him in the living room of our house, he started to make this sign where he put one finger into the palm of his hand. I had no idea what he was doing. He continued to do that for about 2 weeks. And then as a daughter came home from college and she came through the living room as we were dancing and worshiping the Lord, he was doing that sign, and she asked me, "Well, when did you teach him the sign for Jesus?" I said, "What? That's the sign for Jesus? Joel, is that Jesus?" He continued to use that sign every time then, from then on, when he wanted to pray. It was all about Jesus. And we would often pray when Joel had to be put out for procedures. Children can become quite scared of the whole situation. But this little guy, he did not have that fear. He didn't walk in that. He was always, most of the time, he was so relaxed and trusting. He was so trusting. He just modeled that. We'd tell him it would be all right. We'd see him And so we'd pray for him during those times that he would get to go and play with the Lord and play with Jesus. And we saw that now, that he was playing with Jesus during those times, because we know that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. And I knew right away, well, the Holy Spirit taught him that, because there's no way we did. We didn't know that. So that's just a little bit about Joel. And
Amen. That's so moving, Tina, in the fact that, in fact, you probably can say it better than I can, but if you want to find out and read more about Joel Jonathan Wagner, go to caringbridge.org/visit/Joel Wagner, all one word, J-O-E-L-W-A-G-N-E-R, and you'll read the story. And I'm amazed that, you know, one of the closing of the story, I assume, Tina, you put that there. You say, dance, little guy, dance.
Yeah, because we have seen him since then. You know, I guess I should go back to when he did die, we hadn't been able to hold him because he was on a ventilator and dialysis for probably a couple of weeks. I'm not sure of the time frame. But we took his body home because we really believed, first I wanted to hold him, and we wanted to be able to pray and ask the Lord to give him back. And so we did bring him home, his body home, and we had lots of friends, people who had been with us at the hospital and others who had prayed and who had faith, said, come on over and we're going to pray. And the presence of the Lord in our house was amazing. I mean, was so sick, and people prophesied that had never prophesied before. I mean, the gifts were flowing. We had students from a college group that had been praying and fasting for Joel. They came over and sang and prayed. It was just it was a neat time. And one of the things that really got me through that time, you know, being with Joel night and day like that all the time, and being, you live on the edge of exhaustion, basically. And I became very jealous for my time with the Lord. You know, just with my Bible in the room and putting on some worship songs all the time. Joel loved worship songs, but that's how we praised him. And in that time, I was able to I had a relationship with the Lord that he was all I had, and he was everything. And I look back recently over my journal that I'd written at, you know, not the Caring Bridge journal, but my own written journal, and I was amazed to see that I really never was praying or talking to the Lord about Joel. I was talking to the Lord about, where are you? I want to spend time with you. I want to see your face. Lord, you can orchestrate the situation tonight that I can have time with you. Right now, Joel is awake. He has a fever. But, you know, I was asking the Lord for the time to orchestrate the situation that I could just have some uninterrupted time with him, and even complaining to him that, Lord, 10 minutes is not enough for me. If it's enough for you, I don't know what it's about, but it's not enough for me. I need more time with you. And so that's my journal, and I think that's what sustained me, was just his presence coming into the room. I mean, we had glorious times in the midst of grief, in the midst of sadness and struggle and suffering, and we had just amazing presence of the Lord and amazing joy throughout. Many times, a lot of laughter would come, was always coming from our room. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Tina.
After Joel passed and we ended up burying him, he didn't choose to come back. I believe he probably had a choice, that little guy, you know, to come back here or stay in the presence with Jesus. And it was about, so let's see, we buried him in February, and then it was June 28th. Dave and I were coming, it was a Saturday night, we were coming home from being out to dinner with some friends, and it was a very dark night. There was no moon, and it was cloudy. Now, Dave and I live in the country, so we don't have any street lights or city lights around us, and so it was very black. We pulled up to the house, all the lights were off. It took a while for my eyes to try to adjust to even find the front door. And as I was heading for the front door, Dave's on the other side of the truck. He says, Tina, come over here. Look at this. So I walked around the other side of the truck, and there's Dave standing there looking at this dark shadow, it looked like to me like you'd see a tornado shape. And there was no wind out that night, but this thing was moving. It was just moving there, you know, in front of us. And it was, I don't know how tall. Dave, you probably can estimate those things. And
yeah. Well, it was an interesting phenomena. When we pulled up in the driveway, Tina had gotten out of the vehicle and was walking toward the house, and I heard a real silent voice. You know, it sounds kind of an oxymoron, silent voice, but I heard inside me the words, look up, as I was getting out of the vehicle, and I, look up at what? And I looked up, and I could see something developing in the sky above us. And that's when I hollered to Tina, because I wasn't sure if she was going to be able to see what I was seeing. And so she did come over to the truck, and it was really kind of funny to watch the situation, because it was the sky was spinning, per se, like Tina says, almost like a tornado. To me, it looked almost like the sky was going to part. I was really thinking the glorious appearing was going to happen, and it was going to happen right in front of us. I thought the skies were opening. And Tina's ducking down, and I was just, it was an awesome thing, but kind of fearful at the same time from a good respect. And then we just really watched, in essence, like a portal open, literally above our house.
Yeah. Yeah, we looked up and we saw this. It looked like possibly there was a spotlight behind the clouds coming up just from the heavens, like where you see the moon, and there was this lit area. And Dave and I called that area like the screen, so it was like we had the screen there. And in the screen, we saw movement in the screen, and it was all the colors of the clouds. You know, it was the gray and black and white and... And we saw this movement, you know, this twisting and turning, and all of a sudden, in the middle of this screen, that movement broke apart, and what it was two or three people dancing and twirling and jumping, and they had on robes, like, you know, you've seen people who paint angels, or they paint people in the gowns with the flowing, like the sleeves that kind of hang down, and the folds in the robes, and you can see that there was a belt around their waist where the robe was belted. Go ahead.
It was like in perfect focus too. I mean, you could see their hair as they would spin, just dancing together. You could see like their hair flinging out, and as Tina says, the robes on their sleeves would move, and the skirts, you know. The gown would just kind of flow up. It was absolutely incredible. They were dancing together and swinging and dancing, and it was just absolutely unbelievable.
We saw Dave kept saying, Tina, can you see it? Do you see it? And I said, yes, it's not a vision. I mean, I too. This isn't. I know people like to say a vision, but we kind of say it's more like an apparition. I looked up, we're trying to figure out a word to say, to use, because a vision sometimes is like someone says, I had a vision, but no one else sees it. This was something that was actually physically happening. I mean, anyone who came to our house that night was able to stand there or lay down on the lawn chairs with us or on the cement driveway and look up and watch this with us. Right away, Dave said, call Whitney, the youngest. She was 16 at the time. She was sleeping at home upstairs. So called her, and she came out the door and looked up and said, wow. And she stood there. So the three of us stood there for a while and just watched this. And we could see that there was all different shapes and sizes. So some were small, some were slight, built slightly, and some were very more heavy set.
Some had wings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some had wings and some didn't. And some had long hair, short hair. Some had an extra mantle that they wore that you could see when they twirled around. You could see the mantle coming over their shoulders that other ones didn't have. And at that point, a little earlier, we saw off to the right side, all of a sudden, running across the sky, comes this little one, exactly Joel's size. His little feet ran like you see on the Flintstones cartoon where they had their feet underneath their cars, and we kind of say, running across the sky, running into the screen, and he reached up, and then during this time, my mother had unexpectedly died, and that was a real blow to my father, my whole family. It was when Joel was not quite a year old, and so we spent a lot of time at her house and with her. She was my best friend and my right-hand person for Joel, actually. But so that was a real blow when Joel was almost a year old. So this person, who looked like my mom without wings, short hair, reached down, grabbed his little hands, and swung him around, just like you do with your little three-year-old child. You know, you swing him around in a circle. She releases him, and he goes running out into the darkness. And that scene with Joel running in and the same person, my mother, I'm sure, grabbing him, sometimes she would swing him, sometimes he'd just hang on her hands and she'd swing him that way. One time she sent him straight up, so like their arms were locked and his feet were straight up in the air. And the interesting thing is, there's no, you know, obviously there's no gravity, so the robe doesn't fall down. When people put hands up in the air and twirled around, those sleeves stayed up, although they were loose and hanging sleeves. And the same with Joel. She put him straight up in the air, and then it looked like they were inside of a wheel, and that's how they rotated around together, both of them, feet, you know, legs extended, arms extended, and just rotated like that. And then in a flash, they'd be gone. We knew that Whitney could was able to see all this and watching this with us, and we were all commenting on this one and that one. And so I said, Dave,
it was kind of like the 4th of July when you're watching a fireworks show and everybody's oohing and aahing, and, at you know, when the really cool ones go off, it's like, wow, and everybody, the three of us were, did you see that? Yeah, we're seeing that. So we started calling people to come out, and we ended up calling nine different people ended up coming out, and all nine people were able to watch the same thing that we were watching. Without exception, everyone was able to see exactly what we were seeing. But then it got even more interesting with the fact that all of a sudden there appeared now on the left side of this what we'll call a portal. And again, it was a glowing in the sky, almost like the moon was out with a real thin cloud line, but it wasn't that. But that's kind of the best way to describe it. To the left side looked like a very long, thin, almost like a pencil shape. And it was like, what is that? It was really, really dark to start with. You could see it in the dark sky. It was even darker. And
it
off to the side
it
of the portal.
Right, and it reminded us of the first thing that Dave and I saw in the total blackness, this dark moving shape. Like, I thought it looked like a tornado. Dave saw something else. And part of this, when you hear Dave's description of things, they differ a little bit from what I saw, because we all remember, actually each of us that saw this remember different points. There are different people that we watch, angels that we watch, in different movements and dances, because it is not all ballroom dancing in heaven. It is the Michael Jackson things are going on too. The all kinds of moves. And,
it was just a lot of energy and beautiful dancing.
Yeah.
That was definitely
so
the moonwalk you were watching, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it comes from. That's the creativity that comes from God.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's go, because there's a lot more to tell about this vision. But as I'm listening to this, you know, for the listening audience, when I first heard this too, I'm getting excited as I'm hearing it. I said, wow, this is unbelievable in a way. And it's so real and true. When you can look Dave in the face and look in his eyes, this happened exactly the way he saw it and envisioned it. And I'm sure with Tina, the same thing. But what's interesting is that when they saw this, whether it was a portal, whether it was a tornado, but there was a light behind it, Scripture reveals something identical to that almost, and it's found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 through 5, and it's called the Transfiguration. And it reads this.
Mm-hmm.
There he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So they saw people that had been in heaven and with Jesus. They were transfigured with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." When he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so it's amazing some of the similarities from the standpoint that in the dark sky, a bright cloud can come with a light behind it, and suddenly you see things that, call it what you want, it really doesn't matter. The fact is, it's real as real can be. And that's what it sounds like you guys were experiencing a little.
A little. Yeah, a lot.
Dave, you had mentioned to me, and whether it's Tina or Dave, doesn't really matter who shares this. I go back to the Caring Bridge, when you wrote down, "Dance, little guy, dance," was that prior to seeing the vision or after?
You know, I don't know.
I believe that would have been before.
Because the Caring Bridge.
That's amazing to me that somebody could write that, and in the sky you see the little guy dancing and twirling with who would appear to be your mother as well.
Yeah.
Unbelievably amazing that the Lord can do that.
Yeah, we have found more and more so, even since then, how I think we put God in a box, and we really only see him a certain way, maybe from our cultural viewpoint or maybe our church viewpoint or lack thereof. Our imaginations just can't grasp things that he does, and he's showing us and revealing to the sons of men. I believe we're really living in an exciting time.
Amen. Now, we're going to keep going on this vision. I'm going to keep asking questions. I want to relate it to Scripture and the things I recall hearing. You guys fill in the blanks. Now, how Dave and I got talking on this particular vision was I asked Dave, I said, "Dave, have you ever had something disappear on you?" Meaning you knew it was there, and then it's gone. And then it's there again later. And Dave, what did you tell me when I asked that question?
Well, I'm trying to remember our discussion on that particular subject, but I think that does happen to a lot of people. I mean, whether it's car keys or whether it's a book or whatever, things can just absolutely disappear. In my case, it was the camera. I was trying to videotape what was going on in the sky, and I went in the house three or four times scouring the house. I just had the digital camera, and I didn't want to miss what was going on outside, so I'd run back outside, and so I'd go back in the house, and I'd look again, and I couldn't find it. The next morning, it was sitting absolutely right in the open on the end of the couch on one of the end tables. I walked by it three or four times. So, yes, I had things disappear and then suddenly reappear. I mean, it wasn't there when I was looking for it.
Amen. So I just laughed so hard when he told me that when we're sitting at the dinner table together, because in this transfiguration that I was reading in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus told the disciples not to tell anyone. And so here Dave's looking for his camera, and he can't find it for a reason.
Right.
And what do you think that reason was?
Well, absolutely. That was something special the Lord was doing for us.
He was personalizing a message that was so personal for you as a family, and to say you had the chance to witness little Joel running and dancing in the sky. It's just unbelievable. That is a vision.
And we did say earlier that there were nine people that saw it. It's important to mention that the nine people that were there were the ones who were really interceding for us. They were really there by our side. It was kind of interesting. We called some people. They couldn't come or whatever the situation. But the nine that actually witnessed that event, which went on all night long, it didn't end until daybreak. It wasn't a 10-minute deal. It was hours. And but those nine people were all integral parts, you know, of getting us through the whole Joel situation.
Yeah, those were people, and there were more than just that got us through the situation. It just happened to be, that's just how it worked out that night, those nine. But those were people who came to the hospital, and they gave up sleep. They stayed all night long sometimes, and they gave up work you know, hours, so they gave up pay, and they were there in the room with us, you know, praying and crying with us at times, and bringing us food, or just really ministering to us and taking care of us, and many times being the errands, holding up our arms, you know, our hands to the Lord. And some of those people, when they were in the room, were even able to experience some of the supernatural things that happened right in the room, like being during prayer, while we pray for Joel, and we just worship around his bed. So some of them were able to see some of those things, getting touched on the shoulder and no one's there, you know, like angelic beings in the room kind of having fun with us sometimes. And seeing things happen as we worship, watching Joel's, all his vital signs would just, go right back into the normal zones and be wonderful while we worshiped. And everybody, and then when we stopped, they would just kind of gradually come back down. So they were just able to see how the Lord was working in the midst of the mechanics of the hospital and the mechanics of human medicine.
Amen. So we're going to stay focused on this vision here, but all of a sudden you jar my spiritual inside, Tina. When you said you went back on your journal, and in essence just recently you were reflecting back on what was transpiring during those difficult times, that you were really asking for more of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for so many people it's so important to do a reflective. In fact, I lead leaders and I tell them, do reflective leadership where you can actually look back and find out how you got to where you are so that you can go where you're supposed to go. And that reflection is so powerful, but it brings to mind 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, "No eye hath seen nor ear heard the great things God has prepared for those who love him, except it's being shown by the Spirit." So as you reflected back, God was showing you once again, it wasn't you begging for God's love, it was you saying, "I love you, God." That's a whole turnabout for the church today, to realize it's not constantly seeking his love, and it's us showing him our love for him. And God gave both of you and the other nine people, if it was nine people, a glimpse into what he's prepared for humanity. And it's just a powerful story. I'm going to turn over the microphone to Pam, and I know Pam's got a question that she would like to ask. Pam, you're live if you hit the one button. Are you there, Pam? We'll come back. She might be having a difficult time where she's at.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep, sure can.
Yes. Okay. Hi, Dave and Tina.
Hi.
I have a question. When this was happening in the sky and you and the other people that were there watching this, did you wonder what it meant, or if God was trying to tell you something, or you know, what was going through your mind and the other people that were with you when this was going on?
We kind of have talked about that, and we just kind of feel like God was just really showing off and for his kids, is what Dave usually says. God's showing off for his kids. And one of the things while this was happening, I was like, "Well, Lord, I can't hear you. I can't hear the music." And I wanted to hear what they were dancing to. And so it was just quiet. And so I went in the house and grabbed my computer that has all my worship songs on it and brought it out, set my laptop, put it on the car, and started playing worship music. And then, Dave, I'll let you say what happened there. Dave?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, did you hear that?
Yep,
I was just
going to
let
Dave.
You pick.
Okay. Yeah, I was just, when Tina put her computer onto the car top and was changing the music, getting some worship music that she was looking for, I was watching the dancing, and I said, "Did you see that? They changed the way they were dancing according to the music she was playing." And so they went from one rhythmic form of spinning and dancing to, when she changed the worship music, they changed to that tune. And I said, oh, that can't be. That can't be. Change it again. So we all watched and changed the music again. And, yes, they changed to the music
the
she was playing.
Yeah, they
absolutely
changed.
Absolutely incredible.
The different rhythms is what they would change is
mm-hmm.
the beat of the music, and they were right on key.
Yeah,
with,
it was incredible.
They were personally relating to and identifying to you that they knew what you were going through. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, no doubt in my mind that they were definitely there to give us a glimpse and give us hope and just encourage us.
Mhm.
Mhm. Man, so let's take a look. And I know somebody's on the line. Let's make a little noise in the background. If you could just watch the noise in the background, I appreciate that. But as we look, when Dave was telling me the story, what immediately popped in my mind was Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. But let me read first just verse 1 of Hebrews 12. Hebrews
I think
1.
Someone's...
Oh, go ahead.
Someone's
Tina.
Doing dishes. I said someone's doing dishes.
Somebody's washing dishes. Okay, thank you for not washing dishes. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 in the Message Bible says this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans are cheering us on. And now going over to the New International Version, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders in the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down in the right hand of the throne of God. So here we have a cloud of witnesses, but most people view the cloud of witnesses as the individuals who maybe are in the Bible, Moses, David, Daniel, Joel, Paul, and so forth. But I believe what the Wagner saw in the sky that night was God's evidence that, hey, your cloud of witnesses are up here, and they know every move you're making. Thus, they're dancing to the very tunes and the change in tunes. It was God's personal message to the Wagners that our cloud of witnesses includes our mothers that went before us, our fathers, our children possibly. And that's why the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson, when he wrote it, said it. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way are cheering us on. And that's such a powerful reminder that I'm beat down every day just like everyone else, but if I can look to heaven and say, that's right, the people that went before me are now cheering me on. I begin to be a better winner in the kingdom of God when I can envision the things that are happening in heaven on my behalf. Not just what Jesus did, even though that's what got me into the kingdom, that's what got my salvation by his blood, but now all of a sudden I've got an audience up there who's going before me, cheering me on. And, you know, I believe we're going to see more and more visions like we're talking about. And those of you who are listening, listen later, you feel free to email us. We love hearing about visions because they're true. And listen to this. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through actually 19. Many people stop at verse 18. It says this. In the last day, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons, let me read it directly so I don't mess it up. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now listen to this. It says, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. So when you think of what's happening in the world today, what Tina and Dave are saying, they saw signs and wonders in the heaven. When you watch what's happening in Chile, whether it was the earthquake from months ago to the miners being underground, God is fulfilling his word right before our very eyes. There are signs in the heavens and there are signs under the earth, all to bring glory to God that it's time. And for those of you listening, if you caught in between there, it says, even for those who are slaves or handmaidens, I will allow to prophesy and dream and vision. And that's why we're seeing the greatest shakeup of the modern-day church today, because God is shifting the last into the first place and the first into last place.
because he says, I want to do it to show my glory, that I get all the glory as I prepare the church to be ready without spot or wrinkle. And so as you hear that, Tina and Dave, why don't you challenge the audience a little bit about believing in visions and dreams as you witnessed that night? Because I assume you've seen other visions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had multiple different visions through my life. And again, you know, just don't be afraid to ask. I mean, I'm going back to think about Elijah when he was told that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, and he says, "But Lord, what if we find 50, you know, souls that are serving you?" And well, what about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? You know, so he wasn't afraid to have a conversation with God, and God was working with him all the way down to the 10. If we can find 10 righteous, you know, so I mean, it's okay for us. Sometimes we get into the religious side of it, and you know, who are we to talk to God? But when we see God as Father, it becomes easy to go before him and say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Don't let my little finite mind stop me from grabbing and going after absolutely everything you have for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, ask for dreams, ask for visions, ask for, you know, prophetic insight. Just don't be afraid to ask. I mean, that's I tell Tina, I said, you know, the Lord loves showing off. To those who see it and understand it and give him credit for it and glory for it. It's nothing that Tina and I have done, but it's wonderful that the Lord is doing all this for us, his children.
One of the things, I guess, that kind of comes up for me, I've had people say to me when we've shared this before, they've said to me, well, you guys are like really spiritual or something, you know, along those lines, or I don't know what they... words they use, but, you know, I've had to tell them, you know, let me be honest, completely honest here. And on the night when we were coming home, it was 11:30 at night. We had come off of a full week of doing a kids camp. We were out to dinner with some friends, and Dave ended up hiring this man, and I just was so tired. I was kind of crabby. I wanted to come home and just go to bed. And so we were, you know, I just thought it's better if I just don't say anything because I wanted to get going and leave much earlier than we actually ended up leaving this place where we were meeting with this other couple. So I wasn't in, like, we weren't, like, praying or we weren't worshiping together or singing. We were just quiet, just driving home and, you know, not angry or anything, just pretty exhausted. So, you know, it was nothing. It was just in the ordinary things of life that God breaks in and that we need to really look out for him. Or I think how many times maybe have I missed those things that God is saying, hey, here's something cool. Come here and look at this. One thing when we've been able to share this now, I mean, God has given us a tool that is very easy to share it with people and then other people, children, teenagers, I love the youth, they will come in and they will say, I've never told this to anybody before, and some adults too, but this was the experience that I had. But my mom told me it was my imagination or this, but it wasn't, because, and then they go into great detail. So it encourages other people here to share what it really is, the reality of the kingdom, and to look
Amen.
For it.
Amen. And just for everyone listening, too, is that we can relate to what Dave and Tina are saying, is that people say, oh, you guys are so spiritual, and say, no.
Yeah.
The only difference between me and you is I believe. Because this is what Scripture says in Colossians 1:15-17. It says that he, being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, both visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and him all things hold together. God created the sky, the stars. He created the light. He is light, in fact, according to 1 John. And so we need to believe in the invisible aspects of God, the
So those of you who are believing the invisible aspect of God, get ready for the rapture. It's going to happen very soon. But for those of you who refuse to believe the invisible, go back to Romans chapter 1, and it's a pattern that God lays out before people that at one time you believed in the fullness of God, but then you denied his power. You denied the invisible aspect of God, and it says it exactly that way in Romans chapter 1. So we're going to see going forward those who start believing in visions and dreams because God said he's going to pour them out, and those who refuse to believe, good luck, because it's not a pretty picture for you if you don't believe, because God is infinite. And Jesus, I believe, said it perfectly, blessed is he who is not offended in me. And so we can't be offended. And Tina, you challenged me when you said you believe there's even Michael Jackson kind of dancing in heaven.
And yeah.
Just, Lord, I don't want to be offended. I'll take what you do.
Yes. Yes.
Take what you
Amen.
Do. And, you know, Dave, in closing, I just feel, you know, Tina or Dave, if you feel led to say a prayer for everyone who's listening, to open up their hearts and their minds, for anyone who maybe has lost a loved one or went through a challenging time like you have, if you could just pray for everyone out there.
Certainly. Yeah, I'd love to.
Sure.
Well, Father, we just lift this day up to you, for it is a new day, and we are grateful and joyful in it. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that those that have experienced a loss or a tragedy or are currently facing one now, Lord, that you are the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end. You are the great physician. You are the one that knows all. You're the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And, Father, we just thank you that you would show yourself to these people, Lord, like you have to us, Lord, in our day of encouragement. And, Lord, I just thank you that as they find ways to serve you and to seek you first, then all these other things shall be added
yes.
to them. And, Father, I just thank you that they be open to hear, with eyes to see, ears to hear, and, Father, just that their hearts would be in a situation, Lord, that they can receive. Lord,
yes.
we come against any bitterness or any doubt or any unbelief, Lord, because that's not of you. But Father, we just thank you for the encouragement. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing for us, amongst us, in us, and through us. Lord, we just thank you. We give you praise and glory. And Father, I just ask that any of the listeners today would just be encouraged, Lord, to just come before you and ask with humble hearts in Jesus' precious name.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, I ask too, Father, that these who are going through these tough situations, like you have said in Psalm 84, Father, that blessed are those whose strength is in you, Lord, and that those who have set their hearts on this pilgrimage. And, Lord, would you make their, as they pass through the valley of weeping, would you make it a place of springs for them, and that the autumn rains would also cover it with pools. Lord, would they go from strength to strength, Lord, till each of them on that day, Lord, appears before you in your holy city of Zion, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for taking the valley of weeping and making it a place of springs.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Dave and Tina, for that wonderful prayer. We've got about just about a minute left. And, Dave, you had mentioned as you're coming home that night before you saw the vision, you heard that still small voice say, look up.
Yes.
And, you know, the Bible tells us to do that. It says, look up, for your redemption draws nigh.
Mm-hmm.
And have you found yourself looking up a lot more than ever before?
Well, I can honestly tell you that I don't believe there's a night that I am not outside looking at the sky. It's just become a habitual thing for me now. Every night I go out and I look up and I just, you know, I'm just still just awestruck by the whole event. And that was, you know, quite some time ago, but I still definitely look up every night.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that's, you know, our website, for those of you, we don't only mention it to bring out that point, focus on heaven. Heaven is so close. We don't understand that's going to happen, but the reality is look up because your redemption is drawing nigh. The glory of God is descending like never before. In fact, I was sharing the vision that Dave and Tina had in Kansas City, Missouri, probably 7 months ago, and a lady just about fell down. She came up to me later and says, you know why? About 20 years ago, I'm driving by Le Sueur, Minnesota, and I felt something very heavy and oppressive there, and I stopped, pulled over the car, and I started praying that God's angels would begin to appear over Le Sueur, Minnesota. And I just don't believe it. God is connecting people. He's connecting all dominions because everything was created by him and for him. And this recording will be live. You can send it around. We hope it ends up everywhere, just again to glorify the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, God richly bless you, Dave and Tina and Hannah.
He does.
I assume you're in the car, too, as you're pulled over, doing life the way God intended us to. And we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thank you,
God
Mike
bless.
And Pam. Okay. Bye-bye.